And now, from one of America's top four hospitals, it's Talking About Your Health with specialists from Cleveland Clinic. Here's your host, Melanie Cole.
It's easy to understand how having MS can bring on depression, stress, and anxiety. My guest is Dr. Amy Sullivan. She is a staff clinical psychologist and the director of behavioral medicine at the Mellon Center for Multiple Sclerosis Treatment and Research at Cleveland Clinic. Welcome to the show, Dr. Sullivan. So tell us, how common is depression, anxiety, and stress among the patients with MS?
Sure. Hi, Melanie. Thanks so much for having me today. It's such a privilege to do this show. I'm incredibly passionate about what I do with my patients here at the Mellon Center for MS. And I'm so glad that you're asking this question. I think recently we've started to understand how prevalent depression, anxiety, and stress, for that matter, are in our population. What we see right now is that depression is common in about 50% of our patients with MS. At some point during the disease, they'll show and display symptoms of depression. And I think what's interesting and important to point out is that this is about 3 to 4 times as high as the general population. It's a very complicated dynamic, depression and MS. And we can also look at anxiety. You know, there's not any great studies that show us great prevalence, but what we see is that anxiety can be present in about 50 to 60% of these patients as well.
Wow, that's a high number. So it would make sense to me. MS can be a scary disease. A lot of medications involved. Are any of the depression signs or symptoms really a result or kind of a side effect of some of the medications that someone might be on for MS?
Yeah, what a great question, too. Depression has a lot of side effects that I think I'd love to go over with you. A lot of symptoms, I should say. First and foremost, I think it's important to differentiate depression from normal grieving. So certainly, as our patients are initially diagnosed with MS, you'll see an adjustment reaction. You'll see some typical grieving. And this is not depression. Depression is when the sadness, the irritability, the inability to function goes on past that normal grieving period, typically about 3 months after the normal grieving. And we see this a lot as patients progress through the disease. We see depression coming at initial contact with the MS disease and as the patient may have relapses. We know that people get depression and anxiety as a result of many different things. One might be, like I said previously, the disease activity. The second might be neuropathological changes in affective areas of the brain, so where the brain processes emotion. We also see depression and anxiety as a result of neuroendocrine changes or psychoimmunological changes. We see it as a reaction to life changes. And so as a person is diagnosed with MS, they may have symptoms that cause depression, such as the inability to do things that they once used to do. And so what we see is that as quality of life decreases in our patient population, depression certainly increases. And then the question that you just asked is, are some of the drugs, do some of the drugs cause depression? We certainly see that there are effects of some of the medications that our patients take that cause depression. I want to stress that it's not just the disease-modifying agents that our patients are on that may cause depression. Those are known to cause some symptoms of depression, but also if a patient is to be on some kind of steroid for a relapse, let's say, or a symptom that's treated with a steroid, the steroids have the tendency to cause depression and anxiety. It causes sleep problems. We also know that some of the opioid classes, which are pain medication and some of the benzodiazepines, which would be things that actually treat anxiety, believe it or not, cause some symptoms of anxiety and depression. So you're right on when you ask that question.
Now, what can we do about this, Dr. Sullivan? What can patients with MS that are suffering the symptoms that you've described, whether it's, you know, a combination of reasons, but it's, you know, it would be fear of the unknown and future and what could happen to you. So what do you, you're a counselor and you can help these people, tell them what you can do for them.
So I feel very privileged to be in the position that I'm in, because what I find is that we work with people for a variety of different reasons. You know, when a patient is diagnosed, there are so many invisible symptoms, such as, you know, the cognitive symptoms or the fatigue. And these are the symptoms where people will say, but you look so good. How can you have this chronic debilitating disease? And so we work with people on learning when it's appropriate to disclose, how they should disclose. There's also a family that's involved with MS. So MS doesn't just affect the patient. Typically, our patients are diagnosed in their early 30s. And so, as you know, this is the time where families are starting to develop. So young children, husbands, wives, significant others. People are moving up the career ladder at this point. So there are so many different intricacies that we work with, and we work with not only the patient, but we also work with the family member. And so we process through some of that, and sometimes the process itself is so cathartic. Patients tell me that it's just important to be able to talk out some of the thoughts that are going through their head, or their anxieties that are going through their head. We work as a multidisciplinary team here at the Mellon Center for Multiple Sclerosis, and we're very fortunate to have the support that we do by Cleveland Clinic to offer this program, because I have myself, another colleague that works in my section, and then two fellows. And so we have a team of four behavioral medicine specialists that work very closely with the neurologist and their team, as well as the rehab teams, and help the patients to make the best decisions, to process through their anxiety, to process through their depression and possibly grief. We also make medication recommendations for patients. And we utilize a type of therapy called cognitive behavioral therapy, and we use that in a way that helps patients to understand how their cognitions may result in their feelings of anxiety or depression. We do specific things such as biofeedback, teaching mindfulness techniques, but I think one of the most important things that we do is really working with the sympathetic nervous system and helping people to restore a good balance from the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system, and helping them to really understand how important it is to be healthy in mind and body. And that's really what we pride ourselves on. We pride ourselves on that stress management technique and really a stress management protocol that we give to people.
What a wonderful multidisciplinary approach that you have, Dr. Sullivan. And with the recommendations for antidepressant medication and counseling and support groups and stress management strategies to help these patients with MS, please, in just the last minute, give us your best advice for patients living with MS and ways for them to handle that stress and anxiety and depression.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the most important thing is to let your general provider or your neurologist or whoever it is that you're working with know that you're having these feelings. We do a great job of screening people here at the Cleveland Clinic for depression and anxiety by the Knowledge Project, which are some of the questionnaires that we give to people beforehand, so we pick it up in that way. But it's also important to let the neurology team know that you're having these feelings. You know, we have support groups available here at Cleveland Clinic. We obviously have this behavioral medicine team that's been created. We work very closely with the neurologist and our psychiatrist when needed to prescribe the right medication for the patient. And so I just think that in order for people to be healthy with their MS disease and their trajectory, I think it's important to understand that you have to get the depression, the stress, and the anxiety under control. There's so many studies that are looking at how stress impacts the disease process and how depression is impacting the disease process. And what we're finding is that those that are taking care of their mental health needs are doing much better in their MS trajectory. They're functioning better, and their quality of life is much better. And so we know that quality of life has a greater impact than disability, fatigue, and cognitive impairment in the MS patient. So what I want people to take away from this is that if, in fact, you're feeling depressed, please don't be afraid of this diagnosis. In fact, it's something to tackle, and we have the specialty and the knowledge to do that here. We want people to get the support, and we want you to feel better so that you can then take care of your family, your job, and your MS. And as your general health improves, your mental health improves, and vice versa.
Thank you so much, Dr. Amy Sullivan. For more information, you can go to clevelandclinic.org/MS. That's clevelandclinic.org/MS. You're listening to Talking About Your Health with Cleveland Clinic. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening.